here. Introduce myself. My name is Brad White. I do media relations for ICANN. I said that this at our opening news conference. Allow me to repeat it. If I can help any of you journalists while you're here covering the conference, please contact myself, my colleague, Michelle Jordan. Either one of us would be happy to help you in any way possible. Excuse me, my voice is a little rocky this morning. We have what we think is a fairly important and good announcement this morning. So let me introduce our panel. And also, before we get into that, when it comes time for questions, if you would be so kind as to push the button on your microphone. We're doing both a webcast, global webcast on this. We have a phone tie-in, so we'll probably have some questions from journalists who are not here in the room. If you would just identify yourself and your news organization, we would appreciate that very much. And let's get started. Let me introduce the respondents up here. Rod Beckstrom, CEO of ICANN. Alexa Rod, CEO of .org. Steve Crocker, who is the co-chair of co-chair of the DNS Sec Deployment Initiative. Steve, you're still the chair of Security and Stability Advisory Committee, correct?
That's correct, Brad.
Yeah. And Dan Kaminsky, who is, I think it's safe to say, somewhat of a legend in the arena of DNSSEC and internet security in general. And Alexa, I believe you have a short statement.
First of all, good morning, and I want to take this opportunity to thank Rod Beckstrom and ICANN for allowing us to be here. It is a great announcement for us, particularly as it comes after the June 16th key signing ceremony, so that's another item that I'd like to congratulate ICANN on. Furthermore, I'd like to thank Rod and ICANN for a lot of the support that they've given us in our advocacy efforts and security and stability efforts. I am really excited today to announce that .org is now the third largest generic top-level extension that is fully deployed with DNSSEC. As of 3 hours ago, we began accepting DNSSEC signed registrations. And I am also very excited to let you know that the first .org name that was signed this morning was none other than ISOC.org. So what does this mean? Bottom line, our DNSSEC doors are open. So starting today, millions of .org registrants can potentially sign their name in DNSSEC. Being a pioneer in security and stability efforts is one of our core missions at .org, the Public Interest Registry. It is to really serve the public interest. So not only today are we making good on commitments to bring innovative solutions to .org website owners to be able to secure their traffic, but we have also all along the way shared our expertise and knowledge with the wider community via efforts like the DNSSEC Coalition. Now, granted, DNSSEC does not address every attack, but it is undoubtedly the most effective way to ward off what's called the man-in-the-middle attack. To appreciate this even more, we've got to go back to the early days of the Internet. The DNS was really designed to scale rapidly, and in doing so, a trade-off was made between scalability and security. Now, that helped quite a bit in getting the Internet to where it is today with millions and millions of users. However, some security problems were inevitable. Now, all of you remember the in June of 2008, the Kaminsky bug, the discoverer of which is seated to my right. And as being famous goes, having a bug named after your name, I think, certainly takes the cake. Now, because of the way the DNS was designed, attacks like the Kaminsky bug were inevitable. So now, 25 years later, DNSSEC is the first major infrastructure upgrade to the Internet, and one that will certainly address the Kaminsky bug head-on. Now, we all know that the internet is really about community, and it certainly takes a community to make this work. Success really lies in collaboration, teamwork, across the chain of trust. I understand there's a small event happening, something called the World Cup. And I think I'm going to use an example to sort of illustrate teamwork, collaboration across the chain of trust. How many of you, I know Germany and Ghana are playing tonight, so how many of you are rooting for Germany? How many for Ghana? All right, okay. So let's assume that your team, that's let's say Germany, intends to strike a goal, which is really the goal of every player, I assume, in the World Cup, and I'm by no means an expert in football. But to illustrate my point, let's think of the backfield as the route, and the route being signed is instrumental. And ICANN's announcement about the route being signed is a very, very major step. Now, think of the TLD registries as the midfielders. We've signed the zone last year. So the backfielders pass on the ball to the midfielders. However, the opposing team, their goal or their purpose is to divert the ball so that they can go ahead and make a strike on their own. The midfielder's sole responsibility is now to pass it on to a striker whom they know because they all wear identical jerseys on a team and they're part of their chain of trust, and it takes collaboration and teamwork to strike a flawless goal. And that's exactly what DNSSEC is about. It is about collaboration, teamwork, and ultimately the strikers are really our registrars that enable the domain name to be finally signed with DNSSEC for the customer. Now, we've been on this journey for a long time. However, we've not been alone. And it's a lot of these players that I talked about that have really made our journey here possible today. It is impossible for me to thank everyone, because otherwise I think I would be solely responsible for breaking the record for the longest press conference. We tried to recognize many of them last night at our event, but I would like to single out a few particular players and organizations and individuals that have really influenced the development and implementation of DNSSEC. A special thanks goes to the Internet Engineering Task Force, the IETF. This is a group of volunteers whose sole mission is to make the Internet work better. And they've been working on the protocols for DNSSEC for many, many years. And it's gone through just a few revisions here and there. However, it is thanks to them that now we have a protocol that all of us can adhere to. So, sincere thanks to those who voluntarily gave of their time and their talents. Also present today is Ram Mohan, who is the CTO of Afilias. Ram, he and his team have been instrumental in making sure that we have a flawless implementation for DNSSEC, and I am so glad that they've been along with us every step of the way in this journey. Thank you, Ram. Not to be missed is a gentleman to my right who I think really doesn't need any introduction. He's been a legend in the internet field for a very, very long time, Dr. Steve Crocker. Dr. Crocker is really a tireless advocate for improvements in the internet infrastructure. And he has been instrumental to us in terms of advice. And I think not only us, but many people in this room are indebted to him. And we've been wise enough to heed his counsel on many occasions. One of the contributions that he has made is to work out a procedure for a ripple-free transfer of DNSSEC from one registrar to the other. As I mentioned, there's also the strikers on the team, and they're crucial because they're the ones who ensure that you can actually score a successful win. And these are our registrars. I want to single out three registrars in particular. We do have about 12 who are already in the process of being accredited. However, these three have been instrumental. Uma Morali from Names Beyond, and Gray Chetworth from Dyne DNS. These two guys were pioneers, and they helped shape a lot of the policies and what we know would be very helpful to the rest of the registrars. And I think without your participation, without your feedback, we certainly would not be as far along. So thank you both. I also want to thank Warren Edelman, President and COO of GoDaddy, who's the world's largest registrar, and whose phased approach to DNSSEC implementation will impact millions of users across the globe. So, Warren, thank you for taking a leadership position on DNSSEC. I think these three registrars, and particularly GoDaddy's presence in the market, is going to signal the domino effect, and I believe that you will hear a number of registrars now announcing their implementation of DNSSEC very soon. I was just in the DNSSEC workshop where I heard Comcast talk about their implementation. Comcast is another player in the chain of trust. They'd made their announcement back in February. And not only was this really heralded within the press, but it was also an encouragement to the rest of the ISPs to begin development of their own DNSSEC implementation. Ultimately, I really want to offer from .org our sincere thanks to all of the folks who for years and years have worked on DNSSEC, not only in terms of protocol, but also in terms of implementation, policies, and procedures to enable all of us to come here today. Without your contributions, without your gracious giving of your expertise, it would not be possible to call 2010 the year of DNSSEC. Although DNSSEC has been around for a long time, it was initially thought of as a technical vision, and your contributions, along with our announcement today, is going to make this, transform that into a reality, and I am pleased beyond measure to be part of that transformation. The Internet, as we know, is about 25 years old, so it's about time it takes on some new responsibilities. Even though we expect it to take on some responsibilities and new challenges, we also expect that by banding together, implementing DNSSEC, and forming a chain of trust, we can now enable the Internet to also usher in a whole new era of innovation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alexa. Do any of you gentlemen have any opening comments before we open it up to questions?
I have some prepared remarks. Rod Beckstrom, thank you very much, Alexa. And I have to say the Internet is more safe and more secure due to Alexa's talented leadership as CEO of PIR, which operates the .org registry, not only with this commitment to be the first generic top-level domain, which is enhanced with DNSSEC, but also in advocating cybersecurity education and many other security efforts across the industry. So true appreciation to you. And, of course, honored, as always, to sit at the same table with Dr. Crocker, who is viewed by many as not only one of the fathers of the Internet, but certainly also one of the fathers of DNSSEC and its development and advancement and now deployment into reality. And, of course, Dan Kaminsky, who developed the quite brilliant Kaminsky exploit of a flaw in the design of the DNS or a vulnerability due to its original openness, which served as a catalyst for the concluding and moving towards this solution of deploying DNSSEC into the root of the Internet and into .org, .org being before the root, which will happen later in July. So an honor to be here with all three of you. DNSSEC deployment at the root is a direct response to the security needs of the domain name service community. It is a cooperative effort being undertaken by ICANN, the U.S. Department of Commerce, VeriSign, and the global internet community of interested parties who wish to move forward with the platform. DNSSEC was designed to protect internet resolvers from forged DNS data, such as that created by DNS cache poisoning using public key cryptography and a hierarchy of digital signatures. That is, DNSSEC allows DNS responses to be digitally signed. By checking the digital signature, a DNS resolver is able to validate information is authoritative, in other words, from the correct owner of that DNS data, and has not been tampered with in transit. DNSSEC will help mitigate very specific types of malicious cybersecurity activities. It is not a solve-all solution that will magically take care of all online risks. It will help curb or eliminate some specific threats like cache poisoning and so-called man-in-the-middle attacks, all of which have been used to distribute malware and commit fraud such as identity theft. In very simple terms, DNSSEC allows internet users to know with certainty they've reached the website or location they intended to. Once fully deployed, validating software could verify that the DNS data received is the same as that contained in the original DNS server using a single trust anchor or public key for the root zone of the domain name system. What does DNSSEC not do? It does not provide any confidentiality for or encryption of DNS data itself. Also, the DNSSEC protocol also does not protect against denial of service attacks or other attacks against name server infrastructure. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here. Around 1990, Steve Bellowin did some research and found that the design of DNS had a potential flaw which could be exploited for cache poisoning, and over a period of time, people tried to tighten it up. A couple years ago, Dan showed that those efforts were less successful than I thought, and we have the events unfolding of today. About a year after Steve Bellowin did his work, Tsutomu Shimomura started making demonstrations that caught a lot of attention, rocketed up to the high levels in the U.S. government. I was a vice president at a research firm, Trusted Information Systems. Vint Cerf was heavily involved in the senior management of the protocol efforts and the administration of the Internet. Called me up one day and said, we've got a serious problem. We began urgent work with research funding to create DNSSEC. And here we are a short 19 years later. It's taken a lot longer than we had anticipated, as you might imagine. But we now have an effort that has involved people from all over the world. Top-level domain operators on every continent have now implemented DNSSEC. So the early phases are now complete, and we're now into the accelerated phase of catching attention. And the level of effort is truly amazing. We have vendors, we have operators, registry operators, registrars. The ISPs are now beginning to be heavily involved with leadership, as mentioned, from Comcast and earlier from Telia in Sweden. And there's a marathon session underway downstairs with a couple dozen talks of just touching on every aspect. And not everybody's lined up in the same direction, which is actually pretty interesting to see the differences emerging and this whole industry evolving. So this is actually quite a historic moment in time. A week ago today, I guess, we had the key ceremony on the East Coast of the United States. A tedious 7-hour procedure, 235 steps, 20 different people locked in a vault going through every single step. And a rerun of that will take place in about a month, or less than a month, on the west coast of the United States. Plenty of backup and redundancy. At the end of that day, last week, everybody who was involved felt that they had been involved in a truly historic moment. So we're at a tipping point in terms of a positive tipping point for once in the improvement of security in the Internet. It's not the be-all and end-all. There are plenty of other problems that aren't being addressed and will need other attention, but this is serving as a good example. And not to be missed, I think, in all of this is the behind-the-scenes support of governments, the Swedish government, the U.S. government, and other governments around the world, putting money and leadership in, and then technical leadership. Alexa mentioned the IETF, and then various other organizations, Internet System Consortium, NL Labs, RIPE, and other key organizations around the world. So this is actually quite a positive time. Thank you.
So, as Steve mentioned, this is a process that has been going on for a decade, almost two decades. There are many, many people who have been carrying the torch for DNSSEC for quite some time. I am not one of those people. I was an absolute skeptic. I did not believe that DNSSEC was going to work or was even necessary. And I was wrong. That is a profound and genuinely wonderful thing for an engineer to realize, that a whole set of assumptions was just mistaken. This technology, this DNSSEC technology, operates on a layer, frankly, that doesn't exist anywhere else. I come from the security world. I do not come from the DNS world. When I actually came into DNS, I saw levels of cooperation I frankly didn't think human beings were capable of. It takes so many people working in such concert to make DNS work at all. But it does work. It works so amazingly. When I was in a room once and I asked 200 engineers, how many of you depend on DNS? And two hands go up. Then I say, how many of you, if a host name is not resolved, have your software break? And 198 hands go up. This technology, this cooperation, this effort, even independent of DNSSEC, enables the basic functionality of the Internet. But we in security, we haven't been able to use this technology. We haven't been able to use this technology because it hasn't been secure. And I'll be honest, we've been struggling. We in security have made a lot of promises about a lot of technologies and spent a lot of money deploying them, and frankly, they haven't all worked as well as we'd liked. I am so appreciative at the work of ICANN, of the work of .org, of the work of Steve Crocker, of everyone, to bring to security the level of cross-organizational functionality that the rest of the information technology industry has been able to enjoy for the last 25 years.
Great. Thank you, folks. Let's open it up to your questions. Again, please press the button in front of you so we can get a recording. Identify yourself and your news organization, if you'd be so kind.
Yes, John Zahman from United Business Media. Firstly, as an observer, DNSSEC is a huge achievement. I think 100% agree with Dan. It is an achievement which obviously Steve would only point out that is a quarter of the problem, but it's a very important quarter. And I've maybe got two questions. One is a very specific one, namely four for Dan. But, although MITM, Man in the Middle attacks are very worrisome, most prevalent now is actually Man in the Browser attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So in DNSSEC, can this help in this area?
All right. DNSSEC can assist with validating the source of content. So we have this problem where people browse or people receive resources and frankly don't know who's offering them. Am I going to a reputable source? Am I going to a random back alley? It's difficult to know, and it's extremely difficult to know in a secure way. So at some point, your browser must get infected. DNSSEC can help you identify that you're actually going to the resource you think you are, aren't just going to a phishing site. For example, am I actually speaking to my bank? DNSSEC can help make it be easier to know that that is actually your bank that you're speaking to.
So we're going to just say that's obviously going forward. So on my browser, I can type in and go to the bank, and that's correct with the assistance of DNSSEC. But if I've got a man in the browser attack or roadware and so on, then the basis is I could still get redirected, even with DNSSEC in operation, to somewhere else or a rogue site.
As Rod said, DNSSEC does not solve all problems.
No.
What DNSSEC does solve, though, it solves remarkably well, and it solves the correct way. 2 years ago, when that bug was found, we put a Band-Aid on. We did the best we could. It was the right thing to do at the time. This is the right thing to do now.
And just one last question, which was for Steve. On Monday, you mentioned, and repeated again today, this is only one quarter of the solution as such. What about the other three quarters?
So, thank you. So, for the benefit of everybody, the one
wait,
quarter.
Wait, hang on.
What?
Is that working? Okay.
Oh,
it is working.
Oh,
that works.
Thanks.
Thank you. The so-called one quarter, I painted a 2x2 mental picture of getting the correct information into the DNS and then getting the correct information out, and then the protection of both sides of that process against a denial of service attacks. So DNSSEC doesn't do anything to reduce denial of service attacks, and so that's sort of half, and then it doesn't it's not part of the equation in terms of putting the right information in. And you're asking what can be done to improve those other three quarters. So with respect to putting the correct information in, that's a pretty straightforward not very exciting process of making sure that the pathway from the user system, the registrant system, to the registrar is secure, and that's a matter of the processes that the registrar provides. And then from there, from the registrars up to the registrants, generally the major registries, from the registrar to the registry, the registries have done a pretty good job, particularly using the EPP, extensible protocol provisioning I'm not sure I got the title right, but anyway, the EPP protocol for moving information from registrars to registries is a very tight, clean, and modern protocol, and that part works pretty well. So those are kind of operationally good operational practices take care of that. With respect to protecting both the provisioning systems and the lookup systems against denial of service, there we're in a more difficult position in terms of getting a complete absolute protection, but in a reasonable state with respect to pragmatics, making sure that there's a lot of extra capacity so that they're not at risk for a small amount of overload. And then generally they're subject to the same risks that the rest of the internet is with respect to denial of service, that you can have a flood of data presented on any system that will tend to prevent others from getting access to it. Doesn't take it down exactly, just sort of like a traffic jam in front of your house that prevents all the people from showing up at your party at the right time. Denial of service attacks is another big problem in the internet that deserves a separate set of press conferences, and I'll just leave it at that.
Karen?
Hi, Karen McCarthy, freelance journalist. I have a question for Alexa. How difficult was it and how expensive was it to install DNSSEC on your registry? And are there any sort of ongoing maintenance costs of having that installed on your registry?
Thanks, Kieran. First of all, I'm not going to underplay the fact that this was an expensive type of undertaking. But as I mentioned before, the reason that we did this, we took this on, was to actually serve the public interest. And as an early adopter, if you will, or as a pioneer, you've got to understand that your costs would be higher. And as more and more adoptions take place, obviously the cost will go down. A lot of the issues that had to be dealt with had to be around what kinds of risks are we going to face? Are there procedures in place, for example, for transferring a domain name from a registrar that supports DNSSEC to one that does not? Nobody had set those rules yet. But thankfully, through the collaboration and cooperation really across the industry, you know, working with our registrars, working with affiliates, working with Steve Crocker and a number of other folks, we were able to work that out. I've been asked that question before, and I'll anticipate the follow-up, which is, are you going to charge for DNSSEC? And my answer goes back to exactly what I said in June in Paris. I said three things. Number one, our motivation for doing this is to lead the industry and to show that it can be done and that it need not remain a utopian vision. Number two, we're not going to take a product development approach to it, but rather a phased development approach, meaning a very cautious approach involving many industry players and stakeholders. And number three, this is not something that we are doing as a profit center. We will leave that individual decision to the registrars themselves to see whether they want to use it as a way to differentiate themselves, as a way to compete for new business or for a particular segment of customers who really need to secure their traffic, or as a way to make money short term. So that is their decision and not ours.
Other questions? Monica?
Monica Ehrmann, freelance journalist. Can you put numbers to it? And this question also goes to ICANN and perhaps to you as a very big registrar. And I have more questions. Do you want me to put them now, or?
Why don't we just do one at a time?
Okay.
Can we put numbers to it? I think we've started the process of putting some numbers to it. However, frankly, as I mentioned to Kieran's question, the numbers that we will have, because we were the first large generic top-level domain, you know, given the size of our zone, is really not going to be indicative of other registries. What is going to be helpful and indicative is what we have actually learned, not only singularly by ourselves, but in cooperation with some of the folks that I mentioned. And I think some of the, particularly the lessons learned from, you know, the two pioneering registrars, as well as GoDaddy in implementing DNSSEC are going to be much more instrumental.
From the ICANN perspective, we can get you some numbers, but I would say it's not possible to get the exact number because it touches so many things we do, you know, whether it's policy discussions or support for the SSAC, support for the root server community. There's so many advisory committee. There's so many different touch points across the organization. But if you wish, we can take a look at the financial, direct financial investment within the IANA department and an activity within ICANN.
Well, I don't think there's any question that there's going to be additional, you know, bandwidth, compute cycle, storage costs associated with large-scale implementations. But the ultimate cost will be reflected in adoption, and we support adoption, and we're going to be working with our customers to support it. So it's premature, I think, to try to roll out numbers. But from an infrastructure perspective, there is absolutely additional cost.
If I may comment from an engineering perspective, a lot of my original skepticism around DNSSEC actually was linked to the costs, specifically the difficulty of doing large-scale complex deployments. Once I actually researched the protocol itself, what became clear was that any of the difficulties that we were seeing, say, in the 2008-era servers was temporary. In other words, there was nothing in the protocol itself that made this expensive and difficult to deploy. we just needed to actually go through the process of working the servers into a state where they could operate at scale. And that is, in fact, directly reflected by the experience of PIR signing.org. We are in the middle of a burgeoning renaissance of DNSSEC servers, products from companies like Secure64 and Accelerants, and even open source products from Burke Hubert of PowerDNS are really showing this doesn't have to be difficult. The new versions of Bind are doing tremendous things to drop the cost of deploying DNSSEC by orders of magnitude.
With regard to problems that have been discussed downstairs, so say some zones just really are not accessible anymore, like zones in the GAF zone, or will we have to live with that for some time or forever even just because it's so complex, or what do you think? And perhaps also the transfers are that have been mentioned in many of the CCTLD deployment discussions as a problem they still see. Will that go away?
Thank you. So two things there. We're in relatively early stages of deployment, and so there's a little bit of a learning curve and occasional miscues. In the U.S. government, there was a mandate actually signed in August of 2008 that the .gov zone would be signed early in 2009, and that during the rest of 2009, the subordinate zones under .gov should be signed. The actual deployment process is taking a bit longer than that, which was reasonably predictable. And as each agency within the government has worked its way through, there's been, as I say, a bit of a learning curve, and occasionally relatively short periods of difficulty. I think this is all pretty small potatoes, frankly, that the learning curve is easy, that a little bit of practice and a little bit of procedures will take care of things, and that these kinds of glitches will become both rare and relatively small scale. So I'm very positive about that. Yes, it's a little different from the existing style of configuring DNS and leaving it alone and forgetting about it for years and years and years. I think the net effect will be actually kind of healthy in that we'll have a sort of like the Y2K effect of that you look at these systems, and in the process of taking care of the immediate issue, you're also cleaning them up a bit. So I think that the net of it all is that even though we'll have more active controls in place on DNS in order to have the re-signing process automated, as I say, it'll all be pretty pretty positive. I'm sorry, the other question you asked was?
The transfers.
Oh, yeah, the transfers. So actually, this is actually kind of an interesting story. When PIR initiated their effort to get .org signed, one of the processes that's in place within ICANN is to have an external group take a look at prospective changes to registry services, and to have, in certain cases, a technical group look at potential problems. And this falls under what's called the RSTEP process. The group that did that looked at very many aspects of the potential service, and one of the things that they flagged was that what would happen if a single registrar implemented DNSSEC and others didn't? There needed to be other registrars that, so multiple registrars, users could have choice. And implicit in all of that was, well, if they're going to have choice, then you ought to be able to move from one to the other. I thought that was a pretty insightful place to examine, you know, sort of a rough edge around to look at. So we took on the technical problem of could you facilitate a transfer and do it in a way that would involve no loss of service and no loss of validation, and so we coined this term ripple-free transfer. It's a great thing about the domain name system that by using multiple name servers, it has quite a bit of inherent resilience. And if a name server goes down, then the users get their data from the other servers that are in operation. And so in principle, it ought to be possible to switch from one name server to another and do it in a very smooth way that, as I say, is provides continuous service. And what we wanted to do was to expand that basic idea so that it would work even in the case that you've got cryptographic signatures and you've got keys being changed as you move from one to another because you don't want to move private keys around. And so the dance is a little more complicated, a few more steps, but well within the basic concept. And so we've been working that out. And then through great cooperation with Names Beyond and with Dyne, we actually, and with our colleagues at Cobham, and with quite a lot of urging and encouragement from both PIR and from Afilias, we orchestrated a set of transfer tests and tested them out, and they've all been working fine, and we're in the process of documenting that, and that's been a positive technical experience, I might say. So it's and it's helped shine a light into an area that hasn't had a lot of attention, a lot of cleanliness, even without the signature process in transfer of zones. People don't transfer zones very often, so it hasn't been a big issue, but nonetheless, we figured it was time in the maturation process of DNS to sort of clean that up and provide a little more orderly practice there. Sorry, a long answer. It's been an interesting technical improvement in the whole system.
One last question, perhaps going to ICANN, I suppose. Is there any intention to have another facility for key signing ceremonies outside of the U.S.? This was something that has been discussed in the technical community, I think.
Not at this time.
Yes, in the back.
Andrea Swalik, Reuters. What changes will ordinary internet users see due to this change? And also, how much? Can you put numbers on how much money goes through .org? And can you estimate the cost of identity theft through .org domain names?
Okay, so you've given me three questions.
Yep.
So let me try to take them one by one, and if I miss any, please remind me. .org has over 8 million registrations, and a lot of our domain name registrants are folks within the community, anything from credit unions, brand and trademark holders, even actually advertising campaigns who use .org as a way, for example, Volkswagen used it as an advertising campaign, nonprofits that depend on donations and charity drives. So it's a very, very diverse set. One of the key distinguishing marks about .org is that it has a very deep set of content. And the folks that actually have a site on .org tend to renew it over and over again, which means that it's a very rich and deep. All of that really says traffic, meaning the registrants or the website owners really have to rely on traffic for a number of reasons. If you're a charity, obviously you want to make sure that your traffic is safe, potentially from, you know, phishing attacks. There's been a number of charities that were targets. If you are a credit union, then your primary concern is to make sure that your customers are safe and they're able to actually get to your website. So what can .org owners expect? I think certainly, given the fact that we have three prominent registrars here, and we have 12 in the pipeline, they can expect their registrar, their provider, to offer services that enable them to secure their website. I think that the key thing I think everyone really should take away here is, after years and years and years of development and slow adoption, we're at the tipping point. And tipping points typically signal innovation. So what .org customers can really expect is not just innovation in terms of securing their traffic, but I think a point that Dan has raised many times, which is being able to secure DNS is going to give rise to a number of different applications and innovations that we can't even imagine right now. And in a lot of conversations, I think people a lot of times underestimate the level of innovation that the technical community is really capable of.
Other questions?
Kieran McCarthy again. So seeing as I suppose this is for Rod, seeing as we're at an ICANN meeting and we're expecting a year and a bit there to be several hundred new generic top-level domains, and obviously ideally they would all have DNSSEC in them, how confident are all of the panelists that by the time we get to that point, it would have become so easy and so much cheaper that people will be introducing DNSSEC out of the box?
I'd like to defer that to Dr. Crocker, who I think has a much better view of that than me.
I think you've articulated exactly the place that we intend and expect, and are fully confident that everything will go. The policies for the new GTLDs required DNSSEC out of the box, at the get-go. The top-level domain operators as a group are typically being very helpful to each other, and so you're seeing a kind of regional cooperation. The Czech Republic group, for example, has been taking a leadership position. The Swedes have been helpful to everybody around the world. You see Brazil has been out in front and it's been helping people around the region. And I think that effect will happen broadly. So the costs would just come down very rapidly. I mean, you have the development costs those don't need to be repeated, and the technology is not inherently expensive, so it's just it'll be built in. I also wanted to take the opportunity to mention that in response to the question about will there be key ceremonies outside the U.S. Rod's answer was right, that the current plan is that there's East Coast U.S., West Coast U.S., but that's the physical location for the equipment. The people participation was truly global. We had representatives from China, from Russia, from South America, from Africa, and from Nepal, and indeed even from Europe and U.S. So very broad scale, and a process of choosing them so that they were not intended to represent only people who were friendly or lined up and intended to be as rigorous and as open a process as possible, so that the people who were there genuinely independent. This process was true on the East Coast ceremony last week. It'll be true again on the West Coast.
Kieran, let me just also add to that. When you're talking about cost, if you think about cost of hardware and bandwidth, obviously Moore's Law comes into play. So they're dropping significantly. And a lot of registries have to account for massive amount of scale just because the Internet is growing and the number of requests are increasing anyway. So then what are the other categories of cost? Well, there's certainly cost of development of software. And as I said, a lot of the work that is done by, pioneers, if you will. There's a huge debt of gratitude to be paid for folks like Nick SE, who initially stepped into this and helped quite a bit. So those costs, by experience, tend to go down. The huge cost, I think, is in terms of customer education, right? Because that is what enables our registrars to be able to position security in a way that is understandable for the customer, and also to be able to attract new business and be able to give incentives for innovation to occur. So In terms of, let's give you an example. 5 years ago, when you mentioned fishing, people thought that was a sporting activity you did in a pond. Mm-hmm. And now, when you say fishing, people understand what you mean. And it has something to do with identity theft. So that's the kind of education I'm talking about. Efforts such as those done by the DNSSEC Coalition, I think, have contributed a great deal. Please watch for this space in about a month or so, where we are going to collectively put out an education campaign. What that will do is it's going to make the understanding of the benefits of DNSSEC. Consumers don't care about how it works or what it's called. All they care about is, what is it going to do for me? To be able to bring that to the forefront. And I think that will not only help our registrar customers, not only will help increase adoption, but it also helps the new GTLDs for them to implement DNSSEC, because obviously the other costs are already going down. Once that happens, I think ourselves and ICANN and practically everybody sitting at this table whose sole interest is in the stability and the security of a growing and more useful Internet will be served.
I'm afraid with that we've got to shut this down. We've got to clear out the room a little early because there's something else scheduled for this room. I want to thank Alexa, you gentlemen, for taking part in this. Thank you very much. I might add that we'll be uploading a video of this news conference to the press page of the ICANN website as soon as we can get that done. In front of you are some flash drives with some background information on DNSSEC. You should have the news releases there. If there's anything else that we can do, please let us know. We'll be happy to give you additional information. And again, thank you to everyone.